The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Welcome to Man in Line on Manx Radio. Your chance to have your say, your chance to have your opinion heard by the Isle of Man and everybody else. From now through till 1, call 66 13 68. Text or WhatsApp 166 177. Email studio at manxradio.com. Ministry of Defence has formally objected to the proposed Moor van in wind farm you heard. Well, we brought this up on Man in Line yesterday. It's all over the news. Well, the government say they're not going to do anything. Well, they're not going to talk about it. The government, they won't talk about it while the examination process is live or speak to any particular commentaries. I just wonder what your thoughts are where this is concerned. And it was mentioned yesterday. Did nobody notice this? Did nobody notice that sticking umpteen thousand, 1,200 foot high wind turbines might affect aviation? And is there anything to do with aviation close by? And Wharton in Lancashire is very big on aviation. Anyway, it's just a thought. Also, the news is, I got a message in just saying that you can't book Sail and Rail on the steam packet. Is this right? A listener tried to book a Sail and Rail ticket for December, but couldn't get, apparently, there's nothing to do with the steam packet. National Rail in the UK haven't uploaded the rail fares for December yet onto their server. So the steam packet can't complete bookings for next month yet. There are often additional trains, obviously, around Christmas. Steam Packet can't do anything there, then, because it's obviously National Rail in the UK. Have you tried this, and have you got any further with it? Steam Packet said they're going to do their level best to help people get where they need to get to at Christmas, but at present, entirely dependent on National Rail in the UK. Any thoughts on that? Text, email, call and WhatsApp. And David's first with us today. Hi, David.
Hi, Andy. What a nice assistant you've got as well. I've just got to say that.
She'll be very happy about that.
Answering the phones. I hope she's getting the minimum wage for it anyway. Can I just talk about quickly about the bishop? I don't know what's happened with the bishop. So hopefully Peter Murcott will come on sometime because he's interested in this thing and is keeping an eye on what's happened to it. And the other thing is regarding the local government bill. Where are we at that? Where is the politicians at that? If somebody could come on and tell us where that is. But I want to talk about these. I went to have a look at these little pods in the road sat in there.
Yeah,
they just seem weird, and I just wondered. I listened to the minister talking about it because they must be safe because her husband runs a motorcycle. Well, I'd like to see anybody else that's on a bike or a bike coming down there and what they feel about those and what do they give us. When we used to have, and they must still have in the armoury of the DOI, these what we call tubes. You used to run the tubes across the road.
Pneumatic tubes, aren't they? Like mini tyres that they put across.
You get a complete run out of speed type of vehicle, whether it's a push bike, all sorts of things on that, heavy goods vehicles. People are doing really too much miles an hour in a particular zone and gives you a readout. So I just wondered, these little things, I don't know what they do, because I presume, I don't think anybody, do you dig them up and then read them? Or what do you do? I don't know, they just seem weird. And why do we come to have these put in Sandon? Yeah, they're just doing what we call a traffic count for the amount of loading on the road going into the ferry bridge and stuff like that. Wouldn't the tubes would have done? Save a bit of money.
Well, obviously they've got access to this new technology and thought they'd Michelle Haywood said was they're going to see, apparently they're saving money.
Saving money when we've already got the tubes. How many? I don't know how many tubes she sticks out of the Isle of Man, how many they carry. But say they have half a dozen pair of them. What are they going to do now? Stick in a warehouse somewhere and never use them again. So we've lost that. We've hired these things. But inserting them into the road, and how did they read them? It just seemed bizarre. I'd like to see people from down south have noticed them, how they've just suddenly come about. And it's been a bigger news item than anything else on the island at the minute.
Well, what would you like to see then? I mean, as far as the local government bill is concerned, what would you like to see happen?
Withdrawn. Definitely clause 5 on it. There is some information which I'm an individual local authority member, which hopefully after Monday I can share, and then everybody else will know then. Because this is part of something that every local authority, can you imagine, Andy, every local authority in the Isle of Man is against this Clause 5. And it's had advice from national politicians, who the former Chief Minister, Tony Brown, was in the bar of Timwell talking to the MLCs and putting doubts in their mind to say what the Minister was trying to bring forward under her one of her oppos in the department there, Hooper. Why does he want to do it? Why doesn't he just, if they're going to do things, discuss it with the local authorities first? Even Trump has a bit of talk first before he declares war, doesn't he? And I've not met anybody at the minute who really supports the 20 mile an hour. Okay, there's a couple of issues in Onken which I'm happy with, especially on the White Bridge. But she's not even considered the one which I asked about, was the one from Signpost Corner, past the Max Blind Welfare, the school there, when kiddies cross the road. Anyway, but that's me.
Okay,
Hopefully it's going to be a nice night tonight in Onken for the lights.
What time they switch the lights on in Onken?
It's 6 o'clock. It is, and I don't know whether Father Christmas is coming.
Oh, surely he's going to be there.
Listen, I know there'll be a few reindeer. I've seen the reindeer.
Okay.
And then listen, if you want somebody to talk to, come up to Onken tonight, because there'll be a few politicians there, and a few, I'll be there too, and I can talk the hind leg off a donkey.
All right. See ya. Merry Christmas. Thanks for calling today. I presume, says... this message says, I presume the wind farm site will now not be going ahead. The MOD will surely stop it. Why has this only just come to light? Is it that plans were not submitted earlier, so the Ministry of Defence, UK Ministry of Defence, didn't know their range was going to be interrupted? Paul in Mackle said the MOD's objection to the wind farm raises an interesting question. If they expect interference to their radar systems at Wharton, which is, what, 90 kilometres away, what's the effect going to be on the approach radar at Ronald's Way? Actually, we don't know. That's a very interesting point. I wonder what Ronald's Way air traffic control would have to say about it. Adam's on now. Hi, Adam. We'll try and find Adam in just a few moments' time. Let's find Eddie instead. Hi, Eddie.
Hi, Andy. Nice to hear your voice and have you back again.
Well, thank you very much indeed.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. You've just, right at the beginning of the show, you made a statement about, did nobody ever think that putting these Eiffel Towers up all over the place would interfere with anything?
Well, the thing is that we expect clever people, and presumably these are clever, qualified, intelligent people. You would think that they knew that Wharton is a big place for British aerospace and the whole sort of defence operation around there. But you presume that they knew that and that had been mitigated and they'd done it already.
You would think so, yeah, but... Just to point something out, right, going on almost 2 years ago, when the MUA were doing their road shows, I attended almost every one of them. And I can remember distinctly saying to, I think one of the guys I spoke to, there was about three, I pointed all these things out to, was about the flooding, which we are 100%, these things will cause flooding. But I remember speaking to, I think his name's Dobbin, is it? Works for the MUA. I actually said to him, we've had it on good authority from an anonymous person, because he still worked at Ronald's Way, that it will cost us, just for the Airy Stain ones, this is, another £50 million, because the radar will not be of any use. It'll have to be totally updated. And so they've known all these things, possibilities, for nearly 2 years, possibly more even, Andy. So yet again, this is just an illustration of they've been trying to get this DAP thing through. It is a stupid idea. It will never work. The rest of the world knows that wind turbines cost an absolute fortune and never pay for themselves. And yet here we are going down that road again. The MUA should somewhere along come clean. They've got to admit they've made mistake after mistake after mistake. There's a load of work been going on at the Kringle Reservoir there, and nobody believes it's just a bit of maintenance. They all think it's to try and divert water from these turbines, which won't work anyway. There'll be that much, it will just overrun everything. And the radar, we have said for years and years. So when I heard the news that the Ministry of Defence, I'd overlooked that myself. I thought, right, if they're sticking them all up in the Irish Sea, it's definitely. Did we have a sort of a Russian spy ship off the Isle of Man not long back?
Yeah, that's the one that's been knocking around England as well. That the Kantar, it's called. It was off the south coast of the Isle of Man, because the Amazon cable that starts, I think, in Denmark, goes from the UK just south of Port Greenock, and obviously, and then goes to Dublin. So the Russian spy ship is basically mapping all the pipes and the wires that grow under the Irish Sea.
Well, do you remember me telling you about the Katya and your documentary about the Balkans?
Yeah.
Well, on her website, she actually has mentioned the fact that the Russians have already, they won't admit it, but they've actually damaged God knows how many pipelines, cables and things in the Baltic Seas already. So when we're thinking about the way the world is at the moment, there is so, we're on the edge of something, or we could be, pray we don't, but if we're on the edge of war all over the place, which it looks like it, we need every asset that we've got in position now. So if anything that is going to interfere with the army and the navy of Britain, it's got to be forgotten about.
So do you think then the fact if this offshore thing is put under a cloud because of the Ministry of Defence in the UK, does this make it more likely that the MUA will now push for Airy Stain, Eddie?
Well, again, it's the same thing. We pointed this thing out years and years ago, nearly 2 years ago, that if they put these monstrous things up in Airy Stain, they'll have to renew all the infrastructure, including a brand new radar at the airport.
Right. Is anything happening on the ground at Airy Stain at the moment? Are they doing any tests at the moment, or are they doing any checking out the wind flow or anything?
Well, up to now, Wardell Armstrong have spent, I believe, £1.6 or £1.7 million on surveys and checking this, checking that. We very rarely see them. They're all hiding in the undergrowth, having cups of coffee and maybe a drop of rum in this weather. But no, nothing.
And what about the plans to get? I mean, where's the access point here? That we're going to bring wind turbine blades. Is it Ballachillowy? Is it the slot? Where are they going to bring them in from?
Well, they won't tell us, will they? And end of story. They just won't tell us. Already pointed out before on your show, Andy. Do you remember me pointing out that there's a weight limit on the bypass?
Yeah.
So if they're going to, they're going to bring them through Ballasella and Colby and Ballabeg. You know, it's mind-boggling. They just haven't got a clue. And this just indicates how amateur the whole thing has been when they can't even look at the radar and the Ministry of Defence.
Okay. All right. Well,
it's dead obvious.
We appreciate your opinion today. Eddie, it's good to hear from you. Thanks for being with us today. Let's go to the answer phone.
Hello, Andy. It's Anne here. I live on the front. I'm just listening about the MyCard, and I hate it as well. I do have bank accounts, but I like cash. And most of my friends are the same. We all hate it. I hate going to the thing in the wall because I feel I'm going to lose my card, so I have to go into the bank. I know they can get it back. So I'm full of agreement for bring back the MyCard and cash is king. One other point about the promenade from the Villa Marina onto Derby Castle. We've got no Christmas lighting. Last year it was the same. It's like doom and gloom in Scrooge land. So maybe you could mention that as well. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, Anne. Thanks for. If you want to leave a message on the answer phone, as Anne did, it's 682631. Four of the Isle of Man's banks are at Markwell House in Douglas today to help people open a bank account regarding MyCard. If you're a MyCard user without a bank account, Treasury has arranged the drop-in session to support those affected by the MyCard service stop. So you can go today. It's on till midday 30, so it's only another 10 minutes at Markwell House for a bank. We think we found Adam now. Hi, Adam.
Hello, Andy.
Hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
Loud and clear, Adam.
Good. I'm just ringing up. As David Quirk was saying before, there's no news about the bishop. And I hope that the members of Tynwald are coming to her aid and that she is managing to keep her vote, because I presume they're still in session, because there's been no news about it in the Manx media. And obviously it was yesterday the vote was supposed to take place, so whether it's taking place or not, I don't know. But as Rob Collister the other day wrote a really good article about it, saying, you know, she connects us to our cultural past. The Diocese of Southern Man connects us to our cultural past. The church is very important. All the parishes in the Isle of Man are, you know, defined by the Church of England parish churches, or the ancient parish churches, the kirks, the 17 kirks. And the seedings are obviously based on the parish layout. There's been a bishop since at least 498 AD, because St. Macald was made Bishop of Man in 498 AD, and goodness knows who was bishop beforehand to make him the bishop, but there must have been one. And Rob Collister was also saying that, you know, she's a moral and ethical voice in Tynwald, and there isn't any other moral and ethical voices. Everybody's just focused on the economy. It's all the other MHKs. You know, so she's there fighting for moral and ethical causes. She's fighting for the community, and she's a voice which, you know, she's a voice which considers the well-being of people. You know, a voice for the poorest in society.
What would you say, Adam? What would you say, Adam, to people who say that we're becoming a secular society, and that, you know, to have a religious figure in our national parliament is counter to that trajectory? A lot of people are now not identifying with any particular religion.
I don't think so, Andy. I think lots of people still identify. The Church of England remains the biggest denomination in the Isle of Man, shortly followed by the Methodists. And I think clearly they should have the bishop. He speaks on behalf of all Christians. He speaks a moral and ethical voice. He speaks on behalf of all religions in many ways. So I think you can't say, oh, it's becoming a secular society. Let's just cut our links to the past and get rid of all the religious figures who stand up for everything positive and good in society, you know, and fight for a better future for the poor and for those in poverty, right, for the needy. Okay. You know, it's so important, Andy, that she retains that vote and that the diocese stays intact. And I think it's just, and I just hope, Andy, that they're voting in support of her, because I just worry that Tynwald is really, this parliament of Tynwald is pretty awful, to be honest, okay, to the people in it, and it's okay, progressive. And I think, Andy, it's...
Yeah, we'll try and find out more about that, but I know you wanted to talk about the Castle Mona as well. Oh, what do you think of the prom at the moment, by the way?
Well, I think it's a tragic, as the lady was saying just then on the recording, that there isn't any Christmas lights going across the promenade, and I think it's high time that they put the lights back. You know, that we need the festive lights back. Douglas is not the same without them. It doesn't have the same atmosphere. There's nowhere for people to walk at night time, which is illuminated. We need the lights putting back, and the government have got to put forward a plan to sort the promenade out and to sort out the state of the promenade, which it's been left in. You know, we need a plan for the walkways. It needs to cover the horse trams. The horse trams need to go back to the sea terminal. The lights need putting up, and the gardens need sorting out in a cohesive fashion. They need to work with Douglas Corporation to sort the sunken gardens out in the Queen's Promenade lawns, which have always been lovely. And I noticed they did put some flowers back this year in the flower beds, some traditional planting, seaside planting. But I could say that you could use perennials, which would be friendly. You could make a really beautiful display using perennials, but wildflowers are not suitable for a promenade environment, in my opinion, and they need to do something about that. So I think they need to get some Christmas lights up. They need to get a bit of panaz about the promenade and bring it back to life. And I was also going to say, Andy, I don't know what the situation is with the Tavia Group's developments down there at the Villiers site and the Castle Mona, because they don't seem to be progressing very fast. And I've never actually heard what is any news story telling us what is actually happening to the Castle Mona, whether it's getting turned back into a hotel or whether it's becoming apartments or somebody's private residence or what the situation is with it.
I don't know. Well, I read that. I mean, I'm one of the few people that buys a newspaper every week, and in the paper last week there was a story about it, about what they're doing and what they've got rid of. And apparently the first thing is they're securing the roof because there was a lot of water coming, and they've knocked all sorts of stuff down. I think they've knocked that modern extension out of the back. But I mean, it's a huge building, and there's an awful lot of work to do. Now, as you say, we don't know what it's going to be. Apparently, it might be an upmarket hotel, which is, if that's fine. But it's going to cost long millions to get that sorted out. I mean, it's not a 2-year job, is it?
No, well, back in the 1990 plan, which was produced for Douglas Promenades, they planned to remove, like, the colonnade where the shops are, the spa, and there's a laundrette there, and there's various things, a chip shop and a pizza place, you know what I mean, under the Castle Mona Arcade colonnade.
Right.
They planned to remove that so that you could get a better view of the frontage of Castle Mona from the promenade, and you could look up, and they could have it all beautifully landscaped coming down to the promenade, you know, all beautiful gardens around it, and it could look really magnificent, and it wouldn't really matter what it was, if it was a hotel or if it was apartments or if it was somebody's house, you know, if it was somebody's house. They're always building mansions all over the Manx countryside. They could have a very nice one there in the heart of town, which wasn't wrecking any greenfield sites. So, you know, it does, because we can't have too many hotels, Andy, you know. They're building all these hotels. They want another hotel on Lord Street, which I think is ridiculous, like, cause there's no beautiful views, there's no amenities, sort of, there's not the right environment for it, is it? So, you know, they're having all these new hotels. The Tavia Group are supposed to be building one on the Villiers site on Loch Promenade, but it doesn't seem to be going up very fast. Well, and I know that site has had issues.
Yeah, that's going to that'll be ready for TT 2027. Tavia site there, because obviously they're digging down there, and there's an underground car park next to it as well, so they've got to get everything right first. But March 2027, that's due to be finished.
Is it? Well, I think it's, I hope it is finished by then, because there doesn't seem to be anything vertical going up very fast. And I think it's, you know, I know the site's had issues in the past with the foundations and things, and I just wonder what the problem is there. I hope nobody's taken the mickey out of the Tavia site in terms of the contractors and the builders, because they do seem to drag things out and get, you know, squeeze every last penny out of people. So I hope nobody takes the mickey over it and we get some decent developments in Douglas.
Okay.
And because Andy, Douglas was beautiful once, you know, down there on Walpole Avenue, there were some beautiful buildings once upon a time, and they all got pulled down, and it's a tragedy, because Douglas really was architecturally impressive, and I hope one day it is again.
All right, good to hear from you, Adam. Thanks for being with us today. Got a message in also. Somebody said Adam was talking about the colonnade of shops underneath the Castle Mona. Don't the brewery own that? Don't the brewery, because obviously the brewery owns Spa, don't the brewery own those shops? And obviously that colonnade of shops on the front, the prom shops, is underneath the car park of the Castle Mona. It'd just be, if anybody knows, do the brewery own those shops, or does that come under the Castle Mona? Just a thought now. Peter's with us now. Now, hello, Peter.
Oh, hello, Andy. It's Peter Murkoff here. Now, just to answer David Quirk's question, and yep. Thank you, David, for thinking of me to answer about the Bishop's vote. The House of Keys yesterday had on the order paper, I think at item 5, to the motion was that the House would accept the amendments of that had been made in the Legislative Council. However, the matter was not discussed for reasons that I do not know. I've not been able to ascertain why. Whether it'll come back next week, I don't know. Now, the fact it was on the agenda, doesn't on the order paper, doesn't mean, of course, that the House of Keys will approve it. So that is where we are. We're still in limbo. It may come back next week. I shall be going to find out on Friday when the order paper comes out. The point about, we're getting to a secular society, you know, and we've moved away from religion and so on. Well, if that's the case, as I pointed out, a whole lot of the Manx Constitution will unravel, because if you want a secular society, then you'll cut out the service on Tynwald Day, as I've mentioned before many times. MHKs will simply get in their cars, they will park somewhere at St. John's, run up Tynwald Hill, just have the laws read, and then run down again. If you want a dumbed-down Tynwald Day, that's what will happen. If you want a secular society, well, that's what you'll get. I think there's a bigger discussion needs to go on about LegCo, actually. The bishop is the only one who doesn't cost any money. Bishop gives the services absolutely free. You look at the rest of LegCo. Time was when LegCo was made up of people who had been politicians and elected to the House of Keys. Now, I think I'm right in saying that there isn't anybody now who's actually sat in the House of Keys, and you need a wider discussion on whether this is moving further away from democracy than it was before. That discussion doesn't take place because it's been obscured by a lot of nonsense about the bishop, which I've tried to answer. The other point I would just like to make, nothing to do with the bishop. I was very interested about the Ministry of Defence's comments about the windmills, on which an inordinate amount of expense has already been spent. I think we ought to acknowledge that we've actually got our own informal Ministry of Defence here, in the person of Julian and others like him, who've done a great deal of research, and if they had been listened to, which I don't think they have, but maybe now there's the start of a change, they would have saved the island an enormous amount of money. And it's really time to go to say, enough is enough. I think we need people in the House of Keys, the next House of Keys, who will repeal the Climate Change Act that has run away with huge amounts of money for no purpose whatsoever, except that it's just depleted the national coffers.
Okay, I just want to ask your thoughts then on the fact that, the fact that religion and the church is bound into our constitution and into our life as well. As a matter of fact, as a lot of people will go to midnight mass who never go to church for the rest of the year. That will happen at Christmas time. Is it not time for the church in general, maybe the Church of England, to restate their credentials, to tell people what the church actually means and offers? Because have they not just drifted away? Whereas everybody else, pardon me, advertises and tells people what they do, the church never seems to be muscular in coming forward and establishing its credentials, if you like, to new recruits, Peter.
Well, its credentials are based on the Holy Bible. I mean, that, it doesn't really need to have to say that. That's the whole, that is what the church is there, is to proclaim the gospel. And a lot of the things that they do will flow from the gospel. We're called to be salt and light in society. And we're told to let our light so shine that they may see your good works before men and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So Christian churches traditionally have been engaged in many good works for the benefit of the community. And those, the very fact that they've done that is traceable to exactly what Christ says in the gospel about letting your light so shine. I'm not quite sure what else you would want to say, because that is the fundamental raison d'etre of the Christian church, yeah, to proclaim the reality of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Life used to be a lot more simple, though, Peter. If a child was born into a Christian household, that obviously that flowed through to their life. Now, times have changed, and people have more calls on their time than ever there were. I mean, just it's a simple fact. Now, the Lord's Day observance disappeared on the Isle of Man, you know, and pubs started opening and shops started opening and what have you. And more people get more calls on their time than organized religion. And do you think that the church has done enough to get its word out to people who have got other calls on their time?
Yes, I do. I've been on the island 35 years, and I remember Bishop Noel Jones. He made great efforts to improve the lot of people, and he also spoke up at the time. You've mentioned about the increase of Sunday opening. In actual fact, what that means is, and it means that working people don't get a day of rest. They're expected to be out there. And it also means that people are not safeguarded against the fact that they've got to work on Sunday. Now, the old law, and I did a lot of research on the old law from 1921 right up to 2000. And the people in the Isle of Man, as far as work goes and working hours and as far as employment rights goes, certainly in the section that deals with groceries and so on, the retail section, they were far better protected back in 1953 than they were in the year 2000. I studied the legislation, and gradually the working people's rights were gradually taken away. And I think it's long overdue that we should think about those people who have families, and they can't be with their families on Sunday because they've got to go out to work. So I think there's another thing that we ought to take note of. The Manx national anthem is the most Christian national anthem in the world. It deserves being read in all the eight verses. I've just written a little booklet about it. And when you read the whole of the eight verses, you find that there is an ideal set out for the Isle of Man. Now, we're far away from that ideal, but interestingly, on January the 22nd, 2003, the Manx legislature unanimously endorsed it as the national anthem of the Isle of Man. And yet, they haven't since then. We've had this rather anti-Christian direction that we've gone in. And you've really got a total contradiction here. You've got a very, very Christian national anthem. You've got these services on Tynwald Day. You've got the Christian church heavily involved in that. And yet, they're trying to pull in two directions, and they've really got to make up their mind. What do they want?
Okay, all right, good point. Yep. Well made.
Thank you.
Thanks, Peter. Good to hear from you. It's 20 to 1 now.
Back pain, neck pain, scoliosis, headaches, joint pain. At Align for Life Spine and Posture Clinic, we've been helping Manx residents for 16 years with our holistic, evidence-based care and therapies. Plus, we're open after work and Saturdays, making it even easier to see us. Visit alignforlife.com or find us on Facebook for more information. Align for Life, 16 years serving the community of the Isle of Man.
Darker days and damper conditions require more action. Make sure you carry out your vehicle safety checks this winter. Think powders. P, petrol and diesel. O, oil. W, water. D, damage. E, electrics. R, rubber. S, self.
Make sure your lights are all working too. Brought to you by Quayside Tyres in conjunction with Isle of Man Road Safety.
It's joy scrolling season at Manx Telecom. More gifts, more roaming, more reasons to grin at your phone and then put it down. This festive season, enjoy up to 40 gigabytes of data to use across 37 EU countries every month. Plus, unwrap a festive gift of your choice worth up to £200 when you take out a new Go Roam plan over 24 or 36 months. Unwrap your perfect plan at mt.im/joyscrolling. Terms and conditions apply. See mt.im/terms.
Hello, I'm Gregory Greenfingers, and today I'm here to tell you all about Green Valley Greenhouses. Now, whether you're an avid gardener or just starting your growing journey, an expertly crafted customizable greenhouse from Green Valley Farm Supplies provides the perfect environment for year-round gardening. And best of all, Green Valley are now taking orders, so be sure to visit greenvalley.co.im to find out more and get in touch today. Green Valley Greenhouses, for your own gardening world.
Are you a small charity here on the Isle of Man? Are you looking for volunteers, hoping to raise awareness and chasing those crucial pounds and pennies to support your work? Well, Manx Radio can help. You could be our next 1-3 Charity of the Week. With daily on-air coverage, podcast and social media promotion, we can help support you and those you help. Just email the numbers 123@manxradio.com and listen out for the feature each weekday between 1 and 3pm. The Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
18 minutes now before one. Faster Mike, good afternoon. Man in Line on Manx Radio. This Wednesday lunch. Oh, weather's filthy at the moment, isn't it? Thanks to Christian Jones from Manx Radio News, who's leapt up the stairs to tell me the Bishop's vote travelled through the House of Keys, then got taken up by Legco, spent a fair few months there. It's moved to the final stage 2 weeks ago, but got amended, so then it gets sent back to the House of Keys. Keys were due to go through the amendment yesterday, but there was an additional amendment which was tabled too, which means it would have to go back to Legco again for consideration if passed. However, the mover of the amendment, Chris Thomas MHK, decided not to move it yesterday as there was already substantial work happening in the Keys. It's been deferred till next week. That's Chris, who was actually in Keys yesterday. Tam on WhatsApp said, I saw an electric bike travelling at high speed on the pavement in Willesden and expressed concern about the lack of monitoring or enforcement in the area. Also questioned whether the council had ever considered installing mini wind turbines on local properties there. Mini wind turbines in Willesden. It might work. A one-minute Google, says Steve, will tell you the Ministry of Defence objections are nothing new. They actually object to about 50% of all UK applications around, and the percentage go ahead and get blocked. Sorry, that's become distorted in the sending. I'm fairly sure that it comes at no surprise whatsoever to the wind farm planners and was probably totally expected. And Julian's with us now. Hello, Julian.
Hi, Andy. I would imagine that something that the wind farm operators weren't expecting was, in the last 12 months, 70 major offshore wind projects have been cancelled. There were three alone off the Akita and Chiba prefecture seabeds off Japan by Mitsubishi Corporation. You've had a vast one off Atlantic Shores off New Jersey, again off New Jersey Ocean 1. Hornsey 4 was cancelled not too long ago for Ørsted. Off Norfolk, the Boreas mega wind farm has been cancelled by Vattenfall, the Swedish version of Ørsted. And subsequently, all the offshore wind farms planned for the off the Norfolk coast have been halted. So it seems also the onshore cancellations have increased by 63%. And the projections are, if it keeps going the way it is, by 2030, there will be a 600% rate of cancellations in on and offshore wind farms around the world. So there's certainly something. It's not just it's not just Moore Vanning. There's all kinds of stuff getting cancelled at the moment. You've got to ask that question, haven't you?
Well, maybe that's just that we're in that stage of the business cycle where it's concerned. I mean, there are still, and let's face it, there are still a lot of wind turbines and wind farms operational around. You're only going to drive through southern Spain. They're absolutely everywhere in the mountains of southern Spain and right across Europe as well.
Well, we know what happened in Spain on April 28th. They had the largest blackout in history. 50 million went blackout for 28 hours. That was lucky because it was nice weather in the April, so it wasn't too hot either. But imagine now if the whole island went off for 24 hours or 28 hours. That wouldn't be much fun.
So do you think this is going to happen?
If it was not being propped up, it seems, any other business would have gone long ago. It's almost like a zombie company, Ørsted, now. The share price is through the floor, and no matter what they do, whether they flog £6 billion worth of stuff or they keep promising that things are going to happen, it doesn't seem, it's like it's a flat line at the moment. Just going on with the kind of the net zero theme a bit, I was listening to yesterday sitting at Tinworld. Chris Thomas brought up an interesting point when he was speaking to Michelle Hayward. He said that Wales changed their primary legislation prior to their 20-mile-an-hour rollout. However, there's been no alteration to the Isle of Man Road Traffic Regulation Act, Section 23 primary legislation, which states, and I quote, a town district or village district shall be 30 miles per hour. And we've talked a bit about certain other bits of legislation where you get mission creep. So if it's saying shall be 30 miles an hour, that's not maybe, that shall be. So that needs to be clarified, I think. Especially as everyone I've spoken to, and I've spoken to tons of people, and so has Dewan, and so has Peter, nobody's in agreement with this as a widespread rollout. Everyone can agree with schools, this type of thing. This 20-mile-an-hour rollout, as I'll quote Mr. Corlett from 1957, a farce. If that's fair enough for me to comment on somebody else's quote.
Well, it's fair to say that at the last general election, 20 miles per hour never got mentioned in anybody's prospectus, if you like, apart from Ann Corlett. Ann Corlett was the one who, in Douglas Central, who was talking about 20 is plenty, and that was around schools. And that got widespread approval. So it almost seems as though Ann Corlett's idea has been hijacked.
I would 100% agree with that. I think it needs to be revisited before it goes any further, because the damage to businesses, whether or social care, it's just physics. I mean, the idea, I think Michelle Hayward said that people are driving around at 20 and on can all the time. I don't think so. Get a speed gun out and just measure people driving around early morning or outside of the rush hours, I'm sure.
Well, that's
everyone
the whole issue.
Around like this.
And that's the whole issue. At rush hours, obviously, everybody's slowed down naturally by the weight of traffic. But at 2 o'clock in the morning, you have bowling highways with nobody on them, and people really are just, it's human nature. People are going to be tempted to go above 20 miles per hour because there's nobody in front of them and nobody behind them.
That's right. And, some of the people that might be asking for this, if they actually drive, I think they'll have to be careful what they wish for, because, being late delivering the kids to school, I mean, imagine Colby. I mean, there isn't a school in Colby. There isn't a hospital in Colby. One side of the road is all fields. The idea that you're going to force everyone for that length of that road to be doing the equivalent of following a tractor 24/7 is absolutely ridiculous. Just a last point. I was just looking at some of the details on those four studs on either side of the road at Santon.
Yeah.
It looks like they are Metro Count Road Pod VMs. Now, they're adhesive mounted, and I think that was actually stated by the DOI minister. So what is the risk of detachment of these things? Because if you get a motorcycle going over it, you know, you're going to get that because there's not a lot of distance between the centre line of that and the side, especially on the left side as you're heading to Douglas. Notice in the photograph and the video that was online, there's a car that's parked on the left there. I'm not sure if I believe in my car there at the moment, because if you get a biker that's not familiar in bad weather conditions like today, I bet you it's quite misty and foggy up there. They could end up with a bike or a car, you know, like in the front of their vehicle, because it's parked very close to the side.
Don't tempt fate.
But the bit I've just... Well, no. But what I'm interested in is things like tractors pulling those big heavy metal rollers are not going to do any good for it. And up there, you're about 400 feet odd above sea level, and you've got the prevailing wind running right across there. So you've got freeze and thaw cycles, you've got water ingress, especially wind-blown, road salt. That's going to undermine the mounting of it, even if the adhesive's all right. If the tarmac starts to disintegrate, and those counters are twice the weight of a cat's eye.
Okay.
So you've got twice the kinetic energy that will flick up towards a car windscreen or a biker that might have his helmet open at the time. So.
Oh, right. Okay.
Anyway, there you go, Andy.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Julian. Thanks for... Maybe they're using no more nails.
Concerned about your hearing? Get the support and help that you need with an expert hearing assessment free of charge at Island Hearing in Port Erin or Ramsey. With micro-suction wax removal available in our Port Erin clinic. Island Hearing have been your local hearing care specialists for over 15 years. So for friendly, professional help and advice, just call 830 722 or visit Island Hearing at 1 Station Road, Port Erin. Island Hearing, always listening.
Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
The Salvation Army is a church and charity who meet human need without discrimination. They alleviate poverty through practical ways and social programmes. This Christmas, they will help a variety of people by serving with hope and compassion. To help by making a donation, or to find out more about what they do, please Google Isle of Man Salvation Army.
This advert is brought to you by Kell Properties.
EVF won't just fuel your car this Christmas, we'll fuel the celebrations too, with great ranges and gift ideas. Our sites across the island are an easy and convenient alternative to high street shopping. Stock up today with Ellen Vannin Fuels.
I'm so excited. Mum says we can go to Ramsey Garden Centre to get our Christmas decorations. They've got everything for Christmas in store now, from lights and trees to decorations and lovely gifts. Our Christmas always starts with a visit to Ramsey Garden Centre. It's open every day.
This Christmas, take the pressure off your plate and let the Isle of Man Creamery bring the best of local goodness straight to your door. Fresh milk and dairy, pastries, coffee, Ross Bakery loaves, eggs, potatoes and more. Look out for Christmas specials like Noah Bakehouse mince pies and Oakle's smoked porter mature cheddar. Sit back and let Christmas come to you. Order now via the app at isleofmancreamery.com/deliveries.
Coming up, we have another winning weekend here on Manx Radio, and this time we're teaming up with Walton's to give you the chance to win a 65-inch TV. To win, all you have to do is head to the Manx Radio Facebook page across the weekend and work out the TV show in question. And then listen out for the window of opportunity to open and text your answer to 166177. There'll be chances to text in right through Saturday and Sunday, and you can head to Walton's at the Isle of Man Business Park. Follow them on Facebook or have a look at the latest special offers at waltons.im. Don't miss your chance to win a 65-inch TV this weekend with Walton's and your nation station, Manx Radio.
The Man in Line with Andy Witt.
Jack dropped a note in just as said you asked yesterday how many car spaces, how many vehicle spaces, parking spaces are going to be lost with a proposed Ramsey Quayside development. I think I heard the number 50. And the other point is, they're putting the wall up on the Quayside. And what about the other side by the shipyard? Are they going to put a wall up that side? Because if it gets flooded on one side, surely it'll get flooded on the other side. Or is the wall higher anyway? Thank you, Jack. Good to hear from you. Plans, and Karen said, I heard David talking about some 30 miles per hour in Uncombe. Where is that? It's a section of Whitebridge Road from Windermere Drive to Main Road, which was due to remain at 30. It's now included in the roads that will become 20 miles per hour. Groves Road and Tremode Road in Douglas will remain at 30 miles per hour. So will a section of Victoria Road from Glen Crutchery Road to Victoria Crescent. That will still be 30 miles per hour. They published the results of the first round of consultation covering Douglas and Uncombe. 1,500 responses were sent to the DOI from 558 individuals, resulting in four changes. They were the ones. You're being invited to comment on the proposals while a permanent traffic regulation order is advertised until the 28th of November. Any additional comments will then be assessed, and the TRO, the traffic regulation order, will be made by the minister and will come into operation. The new speed limit signs will be installed in Douglas and Uncombe then. So that's the situation regarding 20 miles per hour and the implementation of such. The promenade, says Paul. When will the DOI start the necessary repairs to zebra crossings that are crumbling and now a trip hazard? Also, big cars damaging chunks of the red track have dipped and cars are swerving to avoid them, damaging their cars. This is getting to a point where people are going to start making claims which the taxpayer will be indirectly paying for. They should get a grip. Andy, this is Dick saying the vast majority of offshore wind farms are off the east coast of England and Scotland, particularly East Anglia down to Essex, full of air bases for the American and RAF, plus all the air traffic control for Heathrow and Gatwick. There are implications. Thanks for that. Thanks to Michelle on the phone. She's going to be back tomorrow with the Treasury Minister. WINT.